is Fuck You Dad.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Fuck You Dad. This week we have a Chicago comedian who released a comedy album back in 2019 called Dancing on the Titanic. It's Tucker Millett, everybody.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on the show.
When did I meet you? I ran into you for the first time at the theater. What was that theater?
CIC.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah, I lived above that theater for like 5 years.
Yeah, you felt like you were haunting the place. Every time I go there, you would just be in the corner with a notebook, and I feel like I was just talking to Tucker. You're like, Tucker died in a car accident 15 years ago.
When I die, my ghost will haunt CIC theater.
In a notebook, kind of looking.
Yeah, I'm just gonna be at the end of the bar. I met the guy who lived up there just because he would come to the open mic. And that was like the first place that I really went to a lot when I moved to Chicago.
Okay.
And so I became friends with the guy who lived upstairs, mm-hmm. and we would go and like hit bong rips after the mic and shit like that. And then it happened where my housing situation kind of fell through last minute. So I was like, oh my God, I don't have an apartment. I'm gonna have to move back home to Minneapolis. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And he was like, you know, we've got a room opening up here. And I was like, let's do it. And that was, it was just such a perfect, like, as a comic living above an open mic and comedy theater, like, it was just the perfect situation.
Because,
my Tuesday routine, I didn't work on Tuesdays. So I used to go to the Drop open mic on Mondays. And I'd be at the Drop till like 2 or 3 in the morning. And then I just wouldn't do anything all day. And I would like get up at like 6 p.m. and start my day.
And roll out of bed and open mic.
Yeah, go downstairs and do CIC.
And did you used to wear suits? Why do I...
Yeah,
you took a real sigh there that led me to believe this was a big deal.
Because I remember meeting you.
Anyone you say something, you're like, hey, did you used to? And you're like, all right, let me explain.
Because to be honest, my first impression when I remember meeting you, and I was like, oh, Tucker, super funny guy. But I was like, maybe he's into Jesus or something. I don't know why he's wearing the suit.
I had a very like Mormon, reborn,
you in the suit is a reborn Christian.
It's
vibe.
Really, it's yeah.
It's someone who used to smoke meth, but they saw the light. That's you.
Yeah,
in the suit.
You used to be. So, used you used to be something.
You used to be a pretty good hang, and now you're harassing me about the Lord,
telling everybody about the New Testament.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what it was is I worked at Bob's Furniture for a long time, and when I first started at Bob's, they were like all about the suit.
Right.
Like, man, it was like you suit had at to Bob's suit. Furniture it sounds was, hilarious was, in and
was,
of itself.
It was rough, man. It was, and I wore a suit every day, and I became like a suit comic for a while because that's just what I was wearing to work.
Yeah.
I was just going to shows and stuff after work, and I would like, I leaned into it
for
a solid year. And actually, Adam Burke has a thing where I think it's Adam Burke, is like every white male comic is at one point leaning into the suit. Like, it always just becomes part of their identity. And I think that was it, because I started comedy super young, and like, I was always the young guy or like the teen on the lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was my identity. And then once I like grew out of that, like in my early 20s, I was like, okay, well, now what the fuck am I going to talk about? My thing? So I became like very political, especially like right before Trump got elected. I like got really into political satire and political comedy. And then, the suit thing just fit. And then it felt, I don't know, after a while, I think I just stopped wearing a suit at work, and I didn't want to put on dress clothes to go out to do a show now.
No.
So it was just like, it was a thing where I was like, I'm going to retire this. I'm going to just go back to
the
beanie. Now I'm the beanie guy.
When you're talking about waking up at 6 p.m. and before the pod, you're talking about doing ass. This doesn't give me suit feels.
Yeah, no, I was not.
It doesn't sound like
guy.
A professional man.
I was not. And that's the thing. Yeah. Like, wearing a suit at Bob's Furniture is very fraudulent. Like,
that's
by
hilarious.
Nature.
It's people who work at Bob's Furniture, like, listen, I need to pretend I have a job.
Right. Well, it's like the same. It's the same reason I think like used car guys also wear suits, because you have to like, you need to have like some level of professionalism to make people feel like you're not a piece of shit.
Exactly.
You know, like, you have to act like you're like some banker or actual business guy to like, I don't know why I said banker, but you know what I mean? Like some actual sales guy to like.
So what did you sell at Bob's? Like mattresses?
All of it. Futons, stools, mattresses.
Hell yeah.
Are
you making commish on the stools?
Yeah, 100% commission.
100%?
It was
how the fuck you sell a stool, man?
people are like,
I don't know if I could really tell someone about how special a stool is.
The weight of a stool is a really good quick way to feel the density of the wood, and that translates to the quality of the construction.
Oh god.
So if you pick up a stool and it's like it's really easy to move, it's probably made out of like condensed wood or like some kind of MDF shitty. Or you get a nice solid wood stool, real heavy, real hard to move.
I
sold furniture for 5 years, fellas.
I'm telling you. If you were wearing a suit right now, I'd be like, I'll buy a $75 stool.
This kind of feels like, you know, at a bar and someone's like, what are you doing? Like, it's really boring. You're like, no, just tell me. And they start telling you, like, you're right.
You're right.
Like, we shouldn't have went into that. That was a waste of everybody's time collectively.
It is. And sales is that way where it's product knowledge. It's like features and benefits and always be closing. So that's all you're doing all day is just telling people about shit, why it's good, and do you want to buy it right now? Here, where's your credit card? Let's see the credit card. Like, it's like literally
Bob's Furniture.
And
that's
dark. It's a hustle, man. It was a hustle. And so I just got a new job. I'm not doing that anymore. But
well, congrats. How'd your dad feel about you doing comedy and working in Bob's Furniture? Answer those two questions.
Honestly, so Bob,
he was probably proud
of you.
The
suit wins dad point.
He was more, I think, more proud that I had a real job that had a 401k. I think that was like,
Bob's Furniture. Bob's Furniture giving out the 401k.
I can get into that too, but like, I forgot about my 401k for like the first 3 years I was working there. So like, I didn't even realize I had it, and then I looked at my Fidelity account one day, and I was like, oh, I've been putting away a lot of money that I didn't even, because it's just, they just take it out of your check, and if you're not paying attention to it, it just kind of adds up. And so yeah, my 401k is kind of nice right
now.
Good
for you.
Got a nice little nest egg.
All right, me and Nick might have a little lick after this pod.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just bought this beer. I just got to ask for the money back.
Yeah.
But I can't touch it until I'm 65. That's how they get you. You know, I got to make it to 65.
I had a hilarious comic friend. He took his out. He paid the like tax whatever penalty for it and cashed his in and just had 40 grand, just quit his job. And just didn't.
Is that Aaron Cobb?
Yeah, it's Aaron Cobb.
And
it's not a bad move. I mean,
no, he just had, he's like, I just have like 42. So I'm just like living my life, blew it all in like a year.
Because
that's what you do. You live your goddamn life.
Exactly.
I think that was something I think my dad actually instilled in me was like, have a retirement account, like have savings, because like,
isn't it hard right now though? Because you're like, are we all gonna be dead?
Well, that's why it's been so hard for me to quit smoking. Honestly, it's like, well, I don't know what's gonna kill me first, the apocalypse or lung cancer.
Yeah,
when
everyone's like, you need a 401k, I'm like, I need shotguns and cans of tuna in a bunker.
Yeah, that's my.
I don't need money.
I need a source of heat and canned chicken.
Yeah. I'm like, you look at this news. I'm like, I don't know if when I'm 70, I'm gonna be worried about we'll probably have a new currency and whatever.
Right,
tribe
exactly.
We set up.
Yeah, no, that is I think my biggest fear is that it all just like, I mean, not my biggest fear, because also it's like, we're talking about like less than 20 grand. So it's not like I got like a ton of money.
Yeah.
It's not like I got millions of dollars in the market. It's like I got
Tucker's door down.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not the bourgeois that you think I am. Okay.
Tucker has like $500 saved, and he's like, I gotta make some decisions here.
Yeah, I'm financially set. You know, I'm good. I'm good for a solid 2-3 months.
Did I hear you're from Minneapolis? Because I'm a Minneapolis kid too.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm actually from Hudson, Wisconsin, which is
Minneapolis. No,
that's
very
summer.
Close.
But I just say, it was a joke in my act for a while. But I used to say, like, you know, when people ask you where you're from, they're not trying to send your parents a postcard. They just like want to get an idea of where your accent is from. And if I say Wisconsin, people think Milwaukee, and it's a very different dialect. You know, they say, "Don't you know?" We say, "Don't you know?"
Yeah.
That's the joke.
Midwest culture, you know, it's rich and
it's slightly different. I mean,
it is. I guess
I do think like, but growing up in that part of the country, it is so funny because it's the beer belly of the United States.
Oh, for sure.
Where there's like, I mean, I grew up in actually, you'll appreciate this being from the Twin Cities, but in Minnesota for a long time they didn't sell liquor on Sundays. Like,
oh yeah,
for,
I know.
Like a Protestant law, it was
trust
illegal.
Me, my dad was very vocal about that.
Yeah,
he had a one man protest every Sunday.
One of his favorite things to yell when he gets worked up, especially about those things, like he would, because he's from England, he's British. Mm. So he's just like, the fact I can't go to the fucking liquor store and buy me booze on whatever the fuck day I want, land of the free, my ass! Right. Land of the free, my ass! He
those
loves
those.
That would be the funniest thing I say. It's just your dad drunk in his pajamas on a Sunday being like, what
just
are the
banging outside a liquor
land
store?
Land of the free, my ass! like trying to as he's getting arrested. It's like that thing. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was America. Just America. Going.
He was very that guy for being from not this country. He was very patriotic.
Land of the free, my ass. That's so funny. That is such.
He
a,
says that about it, sports gambling too, because he can't technically bet on sports in North Carolina. He finds a way how to, but he's like, fucking land of the free, my ass. It's my bloody money. If I want to blow it on some stupid football game, it's my right.
I also just like how there's some people that are like, well, I just think we shouldn't have mass addiction on the cell phone.
Yeah.
Well, gambling is an interesting thing because it is a vice, but it's also sponsored by the state. Like, there's, like, state lotteries, and, like, the state is, like, trying to get you to, like, buy scratch-offs.
It's a vice that could present itself as, like, an investment decision, which is crazy because you're not drinking and you're like, this could potentially save my family.
Yeah, bro. No, you know, it's
you're not drinking and being like, everything could change.
I had this realization one time. I was standing behind a guy at a 7-Eleven, and he was buying like $50 in scratch-offs. And I was looking at him down my nose like, well, this fucking guy's wasting his money. And then I walked up and I was like, can I get a pack of American Spirits? It's like, he might hit a jackpot. I'm just killing myself.
With
an addiction that costs probably the same amount of money.
But it comes with hope, the gamble, you know?
That's the best part. Of gambling is the hope.
Yeah, right. Totally.
And then, you know, $300 a hope is a fuck ton of hope.
Actually, tying this back into my dad, one thing that my dad taught us how to play poker at like a very young age.
Okay.
Like, I was like, me like too. 8 or 9.
Mafia
yeah.
Dogs
yeah. It was like the thing that we would do as a family is like we wouldn't play Monopoly or anything. We'd sit around and play like Texas Hold'em.
That's
and
kind
like
of intense.
5-card draw.
Your family just 5 white dudes drinking whiskey. Like, what? Fuck is that?
Yeah, it was a weird thing because it wasn't like for money. It was just for the love of the game kind of thing. We were like playing like nickel dime quarter. You know, you just pull money. They had like this big Ziploc bag full of change that they
were
used to.
Yeah, Kenyon,
like,
they weren't playing. They weren't like, hey, Tucker, yeah, break your piggy bank. Yeah, okay, yeah. How much you got for your birthday?
We got you $15 on allowance.
Tucker,
yeah.
Tucker,
you want to double or nothing?
I'd love to if you sit down with dinner with us tonight, but you still owe me $50 from last week. Yeah. Yeah, you ain't getting none of this till you get out there and get it, bud.
My dad's just breaking my thumbs behind the house.
Yeah. Your dad,
he's like,
yeah, everybody used to get whipped just for, you know, your dad gets a switch and he's like, if you don't pay me my fucking money back by the end of the week.
But yeah, I think it's interesting. It's almost like one of those things where, you know that thing where, and they never did this for me, but your parents will make you smoke like a whole pack of cigarettes to like make you hate cigarettes.
Yeah.
I think that happened with gambling for me where like, because I did it as like a family thing, I have no interest in like going to a casino or like even when people invite me for a poker night, I never have that like gambler's urge. I have it sometimes with dice. When I throw dice with people, that's when I'll be like, hey, you got a dollar? Can I steal a dollar, man? Like I do get that
it's
way.
Electric.
But with cards, I don't. It feels like much more chill. And
I've been getting into playing poker a lot, like cash games in Chicago at casinos and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My dad taught
See, even the addict in me is like, oh, really?
Where where are those at?
Where are those at?
Nick's the devil. Yeah, don't.
Yeah, I am. I'm not. But my dad taught me how to play poker when I was 14, and we played like online together. So we would sit next to each other on laptops.
That's different.
That is real gambling.
This is a story in a support group that you start with. You're like, we were just online together, and they're like, anyway, my wife won't talk to me because I lost the house, you know.
But gambling in England is like, it's like it's
cultural.
Like water, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he brought me
how
for my 18th.
They just love drinking all day and gambling. Late
stage empire, baby. The glory days
are
300 years behind them.
There's no sun. Everyone just looks like a vampire. You just get hammered all day and gamble.
Yeah, honestly. But when I turned 18, because in Minnesota you can gamble at 18, and he brought me to the casino. That was our fun thing. He gave me $100 of his money that I lost, and he didn't get mad at me. But he would. That's the crazy thing is when he brought me to the casino and I lost $100 of his money, he wouldn't get pissed. He'd be like, having fun, blah blah blah. We go home. But if I asked him for like $10 to go to see like a movie with my friends, he'd be like, what the fuck, like. Get off your ass and like do something. You know what I'm saying?
Why don't you put that money towards gambling?
Yeah.
Make it back.
Yeah. What you need to do, get that 10 together, bet on some stuff, then you go to the movies for days.
Put it all on black.
Yeah.
Quadruple your money. Yeah, that's... Oh, but going back to... So, growing up in... I grew up in Hudson, which is, like, right on the Minnesota border. Like, Stillwater, Minnesota is, like, right across the river, right?
Okay.
And so, being on the border of Minnesota on Sundays, our, like, entire economy was based around... Like, there were 6 liquor stores in a town of, like, 12,000 people.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Because, like, and I had... I never worked at a liquor store in high school, but I had friends of mine in high school who worked at these liquor stores. And they would say, like, Sunday was... hands down the busiest day of the week because you'd have all these Minnesotans like coming over for like to buy booze on Sunday. Like, because it's, you know, Hudson is like outside of the Twin Cities metropolitan area, but it's like 30 minutes from downtown. So
it was
you
just
get all
alcoholic
all
refugees.
Minnesotans.
Yeah,
for real.
To get it. It was. They're literally just like, please, I need help. They have the holy juice. It's like, we have it for days here. You're good.
And they sell that bullshit in gas stations. They sell like less alcoholic beer, like methadone beer.
Yeah.
Like
O'Doul's kind of, or not, O'Doul's is like fully non-alcoholic, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It has like,
but yeah,
a
I know what you're
there.
Talking about, where it's like less than a certain percentage. So
yeah,
it like skirts the law.
Right. Does your dad like, has he seen you do stand up?
Yeah. I mean, I started when I was 14 going on 15. So like my parents came to like basically the first 3 years I was doing stand up, but it was like, I was only performing. It's not like how it is now. I was only performing like maybe once a month, you know, I was doing like talent shows and like I did random bar gigs because the guy who got me into stand up was like my best friend's dad was a comedian. Mm. And so he ran this bar show in our suburban town that I would go do like twice a year.
Okay.
And then every once in a while, I'd go into the cities to do open mics, but I had to bring my parents. Actually, not my dad, but my mom. Because my dad was so supportive on comedy, especially when I was a teenager. He was like, you got to focus on school and not being in bars, you know, like as a 16-year-old, totally understandable.
Yeah,
yeah,
maybe
like,
focus on having a future. You're going to spend a lot of your time in bars.
There's that trope where like comics get mad at their parents for like not being supportive enough. And like, I totally get it.
Because, kind of the premise of the podcast.
For me, for me, it was like...
It's a completely reasonable thing.
Yeah, if I'm in my dad's shoes, I totally get why he's like, I don't want you doing comedy. Because it's just a dangerous, dark road. Like,
it's like you're yelling at the scratch-off guy. This is like, what if that took 20 years?
Right.
What if someone, that guy, he's just going to fuck up first $50. You're talking about every night you're playing the scratch off.
Hundreds, like, hundreds of dollars.
For like a decade. And then one day you just scratch it off and you're like, oh, I didn't get it. I didn't get the special. You're just 33 with 5 roommates. You're like, oh, I lost.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, it was supposed to be these 3 things.
Yeah.
You're just 50 trying to hit up your friends to come to your bar show. And you're like, oh, I lost.
Dude, I do really worry about that because it'll all be fine. But I have a 401k. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
Yeah, you're
doing great.
Got
$39.
Right. I got $39 in 401k. But I dropped out of college. Like that was a whole thing. Having that conversation with my dad, where I'm like, "Hey, I'm."
Dropped out of college to do stand up.
I dropped out of college to do stand-up.
That's a big one.
I was doing comedy in high. There's a short version of it. I was doing comedy in high school, and then I went to college because that's just what you do. Like where I went to high school, like everybody I knew went to college. So, I just went to a state school because I was like, "All right, here we go." And I drank too much, and I was the whole time. I'm like, I don't want to be doing any of this.
Right.
And so I decided like October of my freshman year that I was like, I'm dropping out at the end of this year. And I'm moving to Chicago because I grew up in Minneapolis, but Chicago is always like, you know, as we know, is like the mecca of where you cut your teeth as a comedian.
yeah.
So I had always wanted to move down here. But that conversation was tough where it was like, yeah, I'm going to go for it. I'm really going to go for it. He's like, all right.
He's
that
son's gone.
I don't think that's a good idea, but...
That's not going to work out. All right. Well, do you have any siblings?
I do.
So that's why he was like, okay.
Yeah,
he's like, one out of 4 sons.
Well, actually, it's funny. I hope she doesn't listen to this. My sister got pregnant at 20. So the heat kind of got off.
So that was it.
After,
that's a real like 50-50, like son's been his whole life on comedy. She's already ruined her life. Like what? What's worse? You can still pull it together.
The heat,
any second, you could go back.
I mean, trust me, man. But once she got pregnant, like... the pressure on me to like succeed as a comedian just dissipated.
Like, you're like, what are you up to?
Yeah,
they're
like,
not
like,
having kids.
Yeah.
I'm just not having kids today.
I was like, well, I got a job and I'm not living at home, so.
Yeah.
With a baby.
Do you have a specific story about your dad you want to share?
Well, there's one funny thing. Like, one thing I'm very proud of my dad for was when I was in middle school, he coached our middle school basketball team.
Love it.
And he was not like, I think he played basketball in high school, but he wasn't like a college basketball player or anything. He just liked basketball.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take a lot to coach a middle school team, I guess. But he did, did the thing. He
brought the cones.
Brought the cones and the balls and had them in the back of the trunk. And he did it for 4 years. But my dad was like the Bobby Knight of middle school basketball, where this dude was like, and I see it in myself when I do comedy, where I'm like very animated and I'm yelling at the crowd pretty much. And that was my dad just as a middle school, like a seventh grade basketball coach, he broke a clipboard over his knee one time.
That's
like,
classic.
On a bad call. Just
God
damn it. Like, oh, so, and it was one of those things
middle
where
middle school is like 14.
It's like 12. You're talking about 12. And it was funny because, like, I think, and again, this is something I get from my dad too, but like, I wear it on my sleeve. Like, I'm not good at putting on a mask. Like, if I love you or hate you, you'll know just by talking to me. You know, it's like, I'm very transparent. And my dad, you could tell when we were like losing a game so bad that there's just no hope, because you'd see it in my dad's body language where he's just like, yeah, whatever, traveling, who gives a shit?
Probably had money on these games.
Maybe.
That would be funny. Breaking the clipboard. Like, God, can we go get McDonald's? 400. Oh, we're not going to be able to go for a while, buddy. You're going to have the other team to pay for it. We would have been able to go to fucking Red Lobster. Dad, you won.
No, it was one of those things where, again, you're very kind of like, it's almost like you're honored that your dad is the coach. You're like, it's like a cool thing. Yeah. And then at the same time, it's like very embarrassing where you're like, Dad, stop screaming at the ref. It's like we're in seventh grade.
Yeah. I told this story on a live episode before, but my dad would go watch all my soccer games, mm-hmm. but he would always bring a six pack of beer.
Sure.
And, it wasn't like, here, give all the dads one beer. It was, my dad is going to drink six beers.
He's got to have a good time at the game.
Yeah. And he would like, he would yell at me. Not you, sometimes at the referee, but I could tell he didn't want to be yelling at the referee. But he would scare the shit, because the referees are like 15, 16-year-old kids. Right. And they've got a drunk British guy being like, referee! For fuck's sake! He would always yell for yellow cards, even though like no one gets a yellow card, you know. Yeah. And he would be like, "That's horrendous foul, number 12." Like, he'd be yelling at other number 12 should be ashamed of himself.
Yeah. I just imagine like a mostly empty bleachers. Half the bleachers like, is your dad's beer cans.
All the other parents are congregated 50 feet away.
Really, just like, Nick, how are you getting home? Yeah.
Hey, blink twice if everything's okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was the other thing, is when I would mess up, you know, he would just scream, "Nicholas! Nicholas!" And then I could look at the other kids on the other team, were like, which one is fucking Nicholas? Because that kid is fucking up.
Yeah. It'd be funny just to have him in your life, like a drunk dad on the bleachers just being like, you lost your rent money in sports, Nicholas!
Yeah.
Nicholas!
Or just in the back of the showroom, just be like, run in the light, lad! Run in the fucking light!
Well, that's one of those things with some hecklers. Like, I don't like heckling, but I have this weird relationship with it where I do think it's necessary sometimes, where like sometimes, especially, I guess it really depends, but there's those hecklers where they're like, helping, they're not helping, but they think they're helping. Like, they're not trying to
be
antagonistic.
Those are, I think, worse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Those,
like,
are worse.
Like, shut the fuck up. Yeah. You know, like, but it would be. Yeah, I do sometimes think, like, you know, a joke bombs and then somebody says something and then it lights the room back up. Like, sometimes that is actually like helpful to just keeping the energy alive.
Yeah,
especially if you're tanking. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it really depends. When it's happening to me, I hate it. But also, I've been in the audience before where I'm like, God, I wish I could just shout something right now, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. Sometimes the comic sucks, anything is better, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. Well, Tucker, do you have anything you want to plug before heading out?
For any comedians in Chicago that are listening, I do the 8-bit open mic here at
fantastic.
The Lincoln Lodge at 9 p.m. Come by, come do a bit, come hang out.
Do an 8-minute bit. Really stretch that
really stretch
out.
It out.
Stretch your legs. Fun shows at the Lincoln Lodge every goddamn
every
day.
Night.
Check it
so
out.
Fun.
Subscribe to the Patreon. All that shit.
All that shit, baby. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys.
Hey, guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You, Dad. If you could follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast. That's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it. And keep listening. Thank you so much.